Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website CoverThatSpread.com is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses, and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread, and I am joined by my guy, the Cachacho. How is it going, buddy?
Doing all right. Looking forward to another great show and discuss a little bit of line movement, as well as this past weekend encounter that we had, tipping back some cocktails together.
That is exactly where I wanted to start off today, because for those of you who don't know, Cachacho lives in the Chicago suburbs where we both grew up. I am in St. Petersburg, Florida. So it's not very often we get to see each other, but when we do, there is usually quite a few cocktails going. And, you know, this weekend, there weren't any cigars, ironically enough. But because I did bring three CAO Americas with me, I smoked one every night except for that night that we were hanging out. I got you a little birthday present, because I know your birthday is right here around the corner, and while I was traveling, I wasn't able to bring my torch, so I was always using matches, and I found that my cigars were burning. I was noticing that for the first time a really big difference in the way my cigars were burning and tasting. So I went online, and I found this place. I'm going to tweet out a link to the website, but they have these like big cedar sticks that you light, and then you light your cigar off of that. I'm also interested to try this out on my pipe to see how well that's going to work. But I sent you a box, and that is your birthday present. Sorry to ruin the surprise, but I figure better I tell you now than you kind of trying to figure out who sent it to you, because it didn't give me a spot to put like a note or anything. But how excited are you to light your next cigar knowing this information?
I am excited to light the next cigar with some cedar sticks. I know last time we had the show, we had discussed different lighting methods, and lighting it with the cedar sticks was one that I know we both talked about doing whenever we get the opportunity to do so. So I'm going to be looking forward to it. I actually just got an email yesterday from Benny's Beverage Depot here in Illinois. And they are having some cigar sales in their humidor this weekend, Labor Day weekend. So we'll be looking at possibly getting a few Macanudos, maybe a CAO for the weekend as well.
You know, my uncle lives and dies by his Macanudos. He loves those. He lives in Arizona. He'll smoke Macanudos in the evening with a little shot of Zambuca. So he's just sipping on the Zambuca, smoking his Macanudo, and that is the life that he's got going down there.
That is a life. I'm envious.
All right. Well, today, we've got college football starting tomorrow, so I'd like to welcome everybody to the 2015 football season, because it is here. This is real. This is the real effing deal right now. So we are excited. We have four plays we're going to talk about today. I should say we have four games we're going to talk about today, possibly eight plays. If you guys are interested in getting in on the rest of our college football weekend, send me an email, thespread@coverthatspread.com. I will email, text, however you want your plays. I will get them to you. And, you know, all you have to do is send me an email. I will get you guys in on this weekend for free. So send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com to get our entire card. Let's go. Before we start with that, I want to go over a couple of baseball plays that I have. Then we can free the rest of the show up for soccer and for college football. The first play that I am doing is a two-unit parlay, Royals and Astros. Parlaying them together, two units, pays plus 141. So two units can turn into about 2.8 units. Again, that is Kansas City and Houston parlayed. Also, on the diamond this evening, I am looking at, it's actually going to be another parlay, first five innings on this one. We are going with the Orioles at home and the Blue Jays at home. So that one's paying out a little better on this one, right around 1.6. So get in on that one. Two units on the Orioles and Blue Jays first five innings. So we've got a big soccer weekend. A couple weeks ago, you and I got our soccer plays in on a Sunday. We hit them both. Nothing crazy or anything, but there were some really good plays in the Premier League. What have you seen happening since the last couple of shows in the different leagues going on around the world?
Well, first note is we're going to be having the FIFA international break coming up soon. So English Premier League after this week, the next games won't be until, I believe, the 21st of September. Spanish League, they took off this weekend. Their games don't start back up until the 12th. And then down in Brazil, we'll be having some games right now as well, and then there'll be the break. So I know we had discussed it with the MLS not following the FIFA international schedule. They'll be playing through the international break that the other leagues take in the other countries. So we'll be looking to bet a few of those games. Definitely some big surprises over in the English Premier League and Spain in the La Liga. We've had a few of the big-time teams, and I know when we broke down the English Premier League before the season started, I said definitely I did not see Chelsea winning the league this year, and so far they are mid-table. Huge surprise. It is a game that we did take last time with that parlay of Chelsea and Man City both winning. We both felt Chelsea was due, and they did come through for us on that one. But really, they've been a disappointment. Their coach is complaining about the medical staff. They didn't make any major signings. So, you know, they're looking a little bit old, getting a little bit tired of their coach, and he has no idea what's going on this year, so they've been a huge disappointment. One of the big surprises has been Crystal Palace. They've won a couple big games, not really against prime competition, but after four games, they are sitting second in the table. And the team that we did talk about as possibly being the champion, Man City, is currently tops in the table, having swept all four of their games so far. That's really what's going on in the English Premier League. Over in Spain, there's really only been two games so far. Barcelona is tied for first place. However, they are down on goal differential. So I believe they're sitting in fourth right now because of goal differential. Real Madrid drew their first game, won the second one. So there's a lot of soccer left to be played as these leagues go into May. You know, playing over 30 games and taking those breaks here and there for different qualifications for the national teams. So it's still anybody's game, but right now, Man City, that's looking like a strong play to win. I believe when we first broke it down, they were a plus play, and now they are favorited, and I believe it's about minus 500 on the play for them to win the English Premier League after just four league matches.
Well, that's, you know, that we were, I mean, we were talking about that with the Premier League, that the only reason we were really taking Chelsea is because we thought they were due. not because we thought that they were that great, because like you said, before the season, we were talking about Chelsea and neither, well, I can't really say my opinion means anything, but you weren't feeling like they really had much of a chance because you just didn't think that they were that good this year. So, you know, you were right on with them. We've got some other leagues going on. You're liking Brazil a lot. That's one that you've been playing lately. I've got to say, you sent me two plays today to make, and I went to make the first one, and I have a little rule that anytime I'm trying to put a play into CapperTech.com or who grades all of my plays, if I have any kind of issues with, like, the internet loading or with anything, I don't put the play in because it's just a paranoia that I have that if something's stopping my play from going through on the first try, I probably need to stay away. And I ended up doing that with the over 2.5 that you sent me. I'm trying to figure out which one that was exactly.
That was Joinville versus São Paulo, over 2.5. That was a plus money play. Right now, that game did start already, and it is sitting at 0-0 in the fifth minute of the match. So really not missing out on too much right now.
Well, all right. I don't feel too bad now. But, I did decide to pass on that one when my little standard didn't go through. But you also have another play tonight, and that's Corinthians versus, and I cannot pronounce the name. Can you do it?
Yes, it is Corinthians versus Fluminense, and I did two plays on that game. I took Corinthians because the money line fell to 123. It was originally about 153 when I first was looking at it. That fell down, and I also played over 2 at minus 145. Fluminense has quite a few players out with injury, and both teams have been scoring by the busload the last couple of matches, so we're looking at this one to definitely go over 2, in my opinion. Hopefully, they might have 2 points total in the first half, so that's what I'm looking for. I didn't see a lot of – I wasn't able to see any first-half plays. I did play every match in the Brazilian league today. So we'll be looking at those games with a watching eye this evening as those plays go through.
The Fluminense Corinthians game, right now the line is actually moving towards the under. So if you play the over, you're going to get it at minus 130 as opposed to minus 145 like you and I both got in on. So something else to keep an eye on. Kickoff in that game is at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So this weekend, what are you looking at for MLS? Or I guess, are there any matches you're looking up at coming up this weekend in general?
Well, there'll be a few matches this weekend for the MLS that we'll definitely take a look at once the lines get released on those. The lines hadn't been released on the English Premier League either when we were taking a look today. So basically those ones are a little bit of, you know, a guessing game as far as where we think the lines are going to move or the over-unders. But I did take a look at those and make a few picks to go over. But really nothing set in stone right now until those lines become available.
Yeah, I was a little upset that I wasn't seeing any of those out either in time for this. But is there any game in general, like, is there a team you think is a lock for this weekend, regardless of what the lines are?
Definitely looking at that Everton-Chelsea game that kicks off at 7:45 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. I don't think either team is really at their peak right now. We're looking at that one for a draw. So that one, as we know, and we've stated several times on the show, ties are always plus money plays, and a lot of times when you know teams are kind of faltering, it's really a good pick to make because you know you're always going to get a little bit of money as long as it comes through. So that one I'm locking in as a draw right now, even without seeing a line on the game.
All right, I like it. I will get that posted. You said Saturday at 7 a.m. Eastern?
7:45 a.m. Eastern is the kickoff.
All right. I will get on that once I see those lines out. So on to college football. We've got about a half hour with archive time. There are four games that I like, I want to spend some time on. And maybe we'll hit a fifth one, depending how this goes. But first game, let's start it off Thursday night. There is one really big matchup between two large conferences. We've got North Carolina versus South Carolina. This game is being played at North Carolina. So the Tar Heels have slight home field advantage. They are playing at home on the Thursday night kickoff, kind of like the marquee matchup for Thursday night. I guess you could also call TCU Minnesota right up there. But I think when it comes to college football, if there's an SEC game, that is going to be the marquee game. So South Carolina had a good start last year. They've had a good start the last couple of years. And then got kind of just a little disappointing as the season goes on. North Carolina has started to become a little bit of a ACC regular when it comes to fun teams to watch. Right now, we are looking at a line of 2.5. South Carolina's favorite on the road. Over-unders at 64.5. And, you know, I'm like, everything's at pretty much even money right now. So nothing much to look at one way or the other or any kind of leans. You know, college football, you don't have the same type of rules like you do in the NFL. So I'm not very scared off by the fact that South Carolina is a short road favorite. I like South Carolina at -2.5 here. How do you feel about this game?
I like South Carolina. I think that North Carolina, like you said, is a fun team to watch, but I don't think that playing against an SEC team is really going to favor them for the first game of the season. Even though they are at home, I like South Carolina to get it done.
So I have a two-unit designation on that play, South Carolina -2.5. Is that out of a 1 to 5 scale? How are you looking at South Carolina right there?
I'm probably looking at that one at about a 4. I wouldn't say it's a guaranteed lock, but 2.5 points, I think they can definitely get it done. I just wouldn't say that that's my lock for the opening slate of games that we're going to discuss.
Okay. So, I mean, I can go with that. I don't know if you want to split the difference or if you want to go all the way up to 4. But I'm good going at least up to a 3 on that.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I was leaning. I didn't know if a 3.5 would be suitable, but we could definitely split the difference on that one.
Well, we could do whatever we want to because it's our show. I'll keep it to an even unit. So let's go with 3 on that one. So our official free play, our first free play of the 2018 college football season is going to be 3 units on South Carolina, -2.5 points. Let's lock this one in right now while I have Capper Tech up and going. So if you guys want to get in on our college football plays, other than listening to this show where we're going to give you some free plays, obviously we're going to have other ones outside of this one. All you have to do is send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com, and I will hook you guys up with all of our plays for this weekend straight to your inbox or straight to your email address, however you would prefer. So that takes care of that one. You know, in this game, I just think the ACC is taking a step back as a whole for the conference. And, you know, I think there's just too much SEC dominance still. South Carolina could be in the bottom half or maybe even the bottom third of the SEC this year, just because I think so many other teams have stepped up. But I don't think North Carolina is going to compete with them in this one. The over is at 64. This is one of my strongest overplays of the weekend, my indicator to play an over. Now, typically when I'm looking at overs, the wheelhouse that I'm looking for in college football is right in the 50s. So this one is just slightly higher than it. But when you look at the way that these two offenses match up, and both teams obviously have playmakers on defense, but I don't think that either of their defenses are necessarily that strong. Neither of these teams are going to win games because of their defense regularly throughout the season. So I am looking at a lot of points being scored. 64 is a lot of points, but if you think that both teams could score possibly in the 30s in this game, 64 is really not that big of a hurdle. So I like the over. I was going to make it a four-unit play. I bumped it down to 3 units because it was in the 60s and not the 50s. And, you know, it is still early in the year, so I don't want to get too overextended game one of the college football season. So I'm going to go over 64, 3 units. Where are you feeling that one?
Yeah, I definitely think both teams are slated to put up a lot of points. Neither one has a great defense, nor did they have a great defense last year. So really, you know, that's where the focus has been for them. But I definitely see this one going over 64 points as well.
All right, and you're good with 3 units?
Yes, sir.
All right, we are locked and we are loaded. So that is Thursday night's game. We are going South Carolina versus North Carolina. Over 64, we were doing 3 units. And South Carolina minus 2.5, we are doing 3 units as well. So let's get into our Friday play of the day. That is going to be Michigan State versus Western Michigan. Western Michigan made a real good push late in the season last year. We're seeing a little bit of movement with this line. It's going up, it's going down. I don't know if we want to lock this one in right now. We do have about 48 hours until kickoff time. But, you know, as much as I like Michigan State, as dominant as I think Michigan State can be, Western Michigan has a coach who knows how to play football and knows how to coach football. So I really like Western Michigan plus 17. I'm going to take our guy, PJ Fleck, college alumni, with me at Northern Illinois. So I'm going to be taking Western Michigan at plus 18, plus 17. You're seeing it at different spots all over. That's why I'm kind of thinking that I want to watch this one shake out a little bit. I'm thinking that's just a one-unit play because we know Michigan State is a far superior program. So I don't want to get too caught up on Western Michigan plus all those points. How do you look at this game?
You know, I think definitely a lot of the smaller teams like Western Michigan, Central Michigan, you know, they can give teams like Michigan or Michigan State a headache. But I think this year I'm really looking forward to seeing how Michigan State does in the Big Ten, seeing how they can compete against Michigan as well as the conference champion Ohio State. And I think that Michigan State could cover the spread in this game. I feel like it's a home game. I feel like they're looking to kick off the season in a big way, especially because their next game is against the Ducks. So I'm definitely looking for Michigan State to send a message in this one and really take it to Western Michigan.
So you don't think that Western Michigan is going, or that Michigan State is going to overlook Western Michigan? And this game is actually in Kalamazoo, not in East Lansing. So Western Michigan is at home.
Yeah, I think even though it's about a, 65-mile difference, so about an hour, a little over an hour drive, I think Michigan State's going to have a great following there, obviously, because they're, you know, one of the premier programs in Michigan when it comes to college sports. So I'm looking for Michigan State definitely to come prepared for this game and really to send a message and not overlook Western Michigan and just look forward to that Oregon Duck game on the 12th.
Okay. All right. Well, we will go Michigan State. I'll take that. We're going to do a one-unit play on that one as well just because we are both on different sides. I can see that one easily, though. But let's just do one unit on that one, especially because of the amount of points. That is quite a bit. So 58 is the total. And I got to say I like the over in this one. It's right in my 50-point wheelhouse, which is why I like it so much. Actually, I'm Capper Tech right now. It's at 57.5. So this is one that I think can go over pretty easily. I think this is a good four-unit play. When you look at Western Michigan last year, they like to put up a lot of points. We know Michigan State is a much tougher defense than what Michigan State or Western Michigan was facing on their MAC schedule. But Michigan State, we know, is going to put up points here. You know, they're definitely stacked to the point where they can really be able to take it to a team like Western Michigan that has a weaker defense. So over 58 or 57.5, what are you thinking here?
I'm thinking over. Just like you said, Michigan State has the offense, you know, where they can put up a lot of points. I think that Western Michigan has a decent offense, but I don't think they have the defense to stop Michigan State. And I feel that Western Michigan, after Michigan State has kind of put away the game, will probably score some garbage points. So I'll definitely be looking at this one to go over 57.5 or 58.
Yeah, this is a classic garbage point game, potentially on both sides, because you could have Michigan State with their reserves in that second half, putting up a decent amount of points just because it may be one of the few chances that they get to get on the field regularly. So, yeah, this is a total garbage time point scoring game, so we're going to go over on that one. I like it a lot. Saturday, I'm having trouble picking out a game. So is there anything you are looking at, or is there anything that you've kind of had your eye on? I know we've got Northwestern versus Stanford. We also have Nebraska, BYU. Your guys, Notre Dame, are taking on – where did they go?
They're playing Texas on Saturday.
There we go. Yeah, I knew it was a big game. So which one are you liking?
I think that Northwestern-Stanford game is definitely going to be an interesting one. I don't think Northwestern is in the same class as Stanford, but I think that, you know, them being out and being at home to open the season, I definitely think that they'll be looking to start kick off their season in the right way, especially with it being one of the early games on Saturday. So I could see Northwestern covering in Evanston this weekend. Right now the line's at 12. We'll see if those PAC fans will raise up that line before I would be comfortable securing that. But I think that Northwestern has what it takes to cover in that one.
12 points, definitely a lot of points to be getting at home. So I like it. Unit-wise, I think we got to go low on this one. My biggest concern is we know Stanford has a good defense, and will Northwestern be able to really move the ball? We saw them having a lot of trouble late in the season last year. I think their offense may even be a little worse this year. So, you know, it is college football, but, you know, this could be a real low-scoring game, which could actually work into Northwestern's benefit because 12 points in a – you know, a 24-10 game, you know, or a 17-10 game could be enough. So I'm going to go 2 units on Northwestern right here, plus 12. For the total, we are at 47.5 points. It is a low one, but when you look at the defenses in this game, or maybe we should say the lack of offenses, we know Stanford started off slow last season offensively. They came on strong at the end. I personally think that they revert to having a little bit of a slower offense. We know their defense is good, and we know that they're going to probably really limit Northwestern's ability to move the ball up and down the field. I like the under here. I don't like playing a lot of unders, especially in the 40s. So you know, I think we stay a little limited with our units. But what are you thinking over or under 47.5?
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards the under as well. I think it's, like you said, it's going to be a defensive battle, going to be a little bit of trouble possibly moving the ball. It is going to be a warm weekend here in Chicago. So, you know, that could either speed things up or it could slow things down depending on how prepared the players are to play in this hot, humid weather that we typically have during Labor Day weekend. But I see this one going under as well.
All right, we're going under. I'm going to leave it at 2 because of all of those items that you just listed off. I think 2 units is a good play there. Also, this is, you know, in a lot of ways, this could be a real toss-up game if one team, being Stanford, isn't able to just really blow this game open and score 30 points on their own, because then it could be really tough for Northwestern to keep it under and to keep within 12 points. So we'll keep 2 small plays on this one. That takes care of Saturday's game of the week for us. Last game that we are going to talk about is the big one Monday night. Ohio State goes to Virginia Tech, the defending champs. They really were able to turn this thing on late in the season. We know Urban Meyer is not going to be announcing a starting quarterback until the very last minute. 13 points is where the line is at right now. Ohio State is favored. Over-under is at 53. Is Ohio State a lock to blow out teams outside of the Big Ten all season?
I definitely think so. I definitely think that Ohio State is really poised to make even more noise this year than they did at the end of the last season, because really they came in as kind of a sleeper into that Final Four, you know, that came out for the first time last year. Because of that one loss that they did have, a lot of people had kind of, you know, put them out of that Final Four, put teams like TCU or Baylor, who were beating up on each other in that conference, over them. And they came in with a third-string quarterback and just shocked, you know, the college football fan base. So I'm looking at them to really come out strong. Like you said, we still don't know who the starting quarterback is. But really, as we found out last year, it doesn't matter who starts the season at quarterback for Ohio State, because they have guys in place that can come in, run that offense, and are capable of winning the national championship. So I'm looking at them to really start off the season strong and just demolish everyone in their way.
So Virginia Tech has been bought down a little bit. I'm seeing it at 13 right now. A couple weeks ago it was at 14. So people are definitely buying into Virginia Tech and the success that they had against Ohio State last season. You know, for me, I like a lot about Ohio State. Obviously, Virginia Tech's defense is pretty good. I just don't know if their defense can slow this Ohio State offense down the entire game. And we know Ohio State has a pretty good defense, too. I'd say Ohio State's defense is much more equipped for this game than Virginia Tech's offense. And when you have a team that I think is going to have trouble scoring, I don't really think that they're going to have much of a shot. So Virginia Tech plus 13, I don't think is a real good play. At 14, I would have liked it just because you had the 2 touchdowns there and you buy it up to 14.5. I think Virginia Tech could be a really good first half play, and we'll have to wait and see when that first half line comes out, where it's at. But I think if we're talking full game right now, I've got to go with you on Ohio State minus 13. So I'm thinking that this is a pretty solid, let's see here. I'm thinking there's a solid 3-unit play. What are you thinking unit-wise?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely with you right there with the units, and I think that Ohio State is really just going to come put the hurting on them, especially because of the loss they suffered to Virginia Tech last year. So I think they're really coming out to send a message and say that was a fluke and we're just going to, you know, storm out of the gates and destroy anyone that comes in our way.
And Ohio State's returning a lot of starters, especially on offense. And what we've seen is that when you return a lot of starters that have played together from year to year tend to get better. And that's scary to think that this Ohio State offense could get better. But, you know, it's very, very likely that they do. So over under 53, you know, this game is going to have a decent amount of defense. But can Virginia Tech slow down Ohio State for four quarters? That's the big question. Ohio State has a really good second half. They could potentially go over 54 points without any kind of issues here. So, you know, you were saying that in that Northwestern game this weekend, it could be warm out, could be a fast field. Are you feeling the same way in this one, or do you like an underplay, under 53?
I'm looking at an over. I think that Ohio State, like you said, returned so many people on offense that they really have the capability to put up a lot of points. And looking to make a statement in the first game of the season as the reigning national champs, I think they're really going to put up a lot of points, and we could, like we said in the Michigan State Western Michigan game, see some garbage points at the end put up by both teams, especially with the fact that we know the second string quarterback for Ohio State, although we don't know who the second string quarterback is, we know that they're capable of running an offense, whoever it is, and putting up points. So definitely looking for an over in that game.
Yeah, it's interesting that Cardale Jones opted not to go to the NFL when he easily could have been a first-round draft pick. So, you know, when you think about him possibly being on the bench for the majority of this game, you know he's going to want to get in there and get a shot. So at some point, and there's a very good chance. Unit-wise, three units I would say would be a strong play. Two units I would say would be a conservative but possibly needed play. What are you looking at?
Yeah, definitely. I think three-unit plays probably would be what I would go with on this one.
Okay. I like it. We're going to go with it. I did check a slightly historical over-under, and I did see it was at 53.5, so it has moved down a little bit. You know, we are seeing some line movements, and, you know, when we talk about line movements, you know, I like to mention it because sometimes people get scared off of line movements. Sometimes people look at them as that is the way to find a better advantage. We know that there's line manipulation going on by some big players around the world. You know, it is very common to see, and it's talked about in the book The Odds by Chad Millman from ESPN. He talks about being in a sports book and watching a player wait for the window to open, and you get five bets before you have to let somebody else move in. And his first bet moved the line down. His second bet moved the line down. His third bet moved the line down. His fourth bet moved the line way back up. So now he had a nice little spot in between where he could cash in a lot of money, but he was able to manipulate the line in his own benefit. So, you know, this is possible. Now, the way that the world of gambling has kind of been able to get all linked up from one sports book to another, you know, and you're able to play on multiple sports books online, like the majority of us do who are not in Las Vegas. So, you know, it's very possible that just because you see a line movement doesn't mean that it's because somebody knows something. They may be trying to move the line down to get other people to move the line further down, and then they're going to buy in lower. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on that you have to take into consideration. The best advice I can give you going into week one of the college football season right now is make sure you know your limits and make sure you know your strategy. Know why you are there and why and how you are betting, because that is the way that you are going to be profitable. If you're trying to chase money, if you're trying to chase line movements, you are going to get burned by the end of the season. So make sure that you are not trying to chase lines, but in that event, in that same sentence, when you do stay consistent with what you know and with what your system is, and you see the line move down, don't be afraid to jump on it just because you saw the line moving the other way. If you know your system inside and out, you need to stick to it, and you will be profitable by the end of the season. So any last advice, Catracho, for week one of college football?
Definitely do your research, because there's a lot of unknowns heading in. You know, who's starting at what position, you know, incoming players. Always make sure you do your research. Make sure you're checking rosters. Make sure those players that you thought were on the team or returning from last year are still either on the team or that they are even playing in this game and healthy. So make sure you are paying attention to things and not just going off of gut feelings for these opening games.
Very well said. And, you know, we didn't really touch on any of the games that involved Division II teams. You know, some people really like to play them. Some people, like me, just kind of think that there's not. Now, I understand there is value, but I have a hard enough time making sure I know the NCAA players, the Division I players, as opposed to the Football Championship Series or whatever players. So, you know, that's a big reason why I stay away from them. There's definitely value there that you can get in on. You know, before we're done, let's go ahead and just take a look. I didn't realize we had as much time as we do, but we have a few other games for Thursday and Friday. So let's just do rapid fire for a couple minutes here. Starting with Thursday, we've got University of Texas San Antonio against Arizona. Arizona is a 31.5 point favorite. Are they steamrolling UTSA here?
I think so. I said Arizona was kind of my sleeper to win that Pac-12 conference this year because I think Oregon would take a step back, but I wasn't extremely sure how they would start the season, but I think they're going to be looking to make a statement as well and let people know that they are for real. And those games that they did win, especially against an Oregon, were not flukes, and they're here to play this season. So I could see them running over UTSA on Thursday evening.
Yeah, UTSA, I just don't feel I wouldn't feel comfortable enough going with them. So I would also be passing on them. And probably sticking with Arizona State or Arizona. I do remember, though, early in the season last year, Arizona did struggle against some of their non-conference opponents, for whatever that's worth. But let's move on here. UNC Charlotte has moved up to the Football Bowl Series, and Georgia State is their opponent in the Sun Belt there. So we are looking at a line of – where did that one go? I don't have one on there. Well, they are keeping that one probably off until the last minute. So let's move on. We've got Ohio versus Idaho. I like Idaho at home with a 10-point, getting 10 points. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely tend to take the home teams when it's over a 10-point spread or more. So definitely I'll take Idaho in that one as well.
Minnesota getting 14 at home against TCU.
That one, I might have to go opposite on my normal pick. I like TCU. I think they're a good team. I think, like I said, they were a team that could have possibly played in that Final Four last year. Might have done even better than a lot of people's pick to win the whole thing in Alabama or even Florida State, who looked like they didn't belong last year against Oregon. So I like TCU opening this game against Minnesota, even though it is on the road.
And you know what? I misspoke on that one. 14 was the old line that I had written down. I'm looking at it right now. It's a 17. So TCU minus 17 is the current spot on that one. Idaho is actually down to 7 as well. I got to start keeping up with the live lines, not with what I wrote down 2 weeks ago. So, all right, my man, that is going to do it for us this week. My friends, good luck with week one of the college football season. If you want the rest of our plays and the rest of our cards, send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com. And good luck.